There were 10 seconds of dead silence. Uncomfortable, heart-stopping silence. Morgan John Fox knew that he had to say something, but he was not quite sure what to say. You may have heard this story recently, because in the last couple of weeks, the radio program This American Life aired a story about a remarkable transformation. The story begins with demonstrations in Memphis outside the oldest and largest ex-gay ministry called Love in Action. Now, ironically, Love in Action took its name from today's epistle from 1 John that asks us to love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. This organization, and there are others like it, claimed to heal people of their desire for sexual encounter outside of a marriage between a man and a woman, especially if, no, particularly if you were homosexual. It was when Love in Action began an in-house program in Memphis to cure teenagers of their homosexuality, a program they called The Refuge, that many in the LGBT community in Memphis began to take their own action. For weeks, they picketed and drew attention to what was taking place within the walls of Love in Action. Their public action was especially on behalf of one teenager who had been placed in the program by his parents against his will. And as the protests began, a filmmaker and a member of the Queer Action Coalition named Morgan John Fox decided to document these demonstrations with film. And after their demonstrations about this program for teenagers had ended, Fox asked to meet with the executive director of Love in Action, a man who himself called himself an ex-gay, a man named John Smid. To Fox's surprise, his request was granted. And that is when he found himself face to face with John Smid, this ex-gay director of Love in Action. Now, Fox had been preparing for this interview for days. He had 6 pages of material just for this moment. And here he was across a very large table, ready to start the debate, to deliver point after point of his elegant and crafted argument. But then he didn't. And after 10 terrifying seconds of initial silence, Fox decided to throw it all out the window. Because instead of grilling John Smid on Love in Action's tactics or beliefs, Morgan Fox began to tell his own story. And that was one thing that John Smid was not prepared for. Sometimes it is critical to know what precedes the story, because often context is everything. And for us today, Good Shepherd Sunday, that is chapter 9 of John's Gospel, the chapter before our section for this morning. There we find the story of Jesus healing the man who had been blind since birth. You may remember this one. It was a Sabbath day, and Jesus and the disciples were walking past a man who was begging. This man had been born blind. And the disciples wondered who had sinned, this man or his parents, because clearly there was sin involved. Replying that neither the man nor his parents had sinned, Jesus, on the Sabbath, made mud. He took dirt and he spit into it, made this mud and spread the mud on the blind man's eyes and told him to wash in the pool of Siloam. The man went, washed, and unbelievably returned able to see. Now, as you might imagine, this healing absolutely confounded all who knew this man who had been born blind. How could this have happened? By whose authority did this happen? Well, soon the Pharisees began to question this man who had been born blind, and then, well, they weren't getting the answer they were hoping for, so they brought his parents in, right? And they questioned him, they questioned them. Now, that didn't work either, so they brought the man back a second time. And when this man kept repeating that he had been healed by Jesus, that Jesus had been able to make him see, the Pharisees became enraged. They could not believe that this man who had been born blind, someone supposedly born in sin, could be made whole. And in their anger, they drove the man out. So the man who had been born blind, right, who had been forced to beg, been kept on the edges of communal life, after miraculously being brought back on the inside by Jesus, was once again cast aside. Now, I find it interesting that for the entirety of this section in this chapter, Jesus is absent. During the questioning by the Pharisees, his name is mentioned, but he himself is not present. It is only after the man who had been born blind has been cast out that Jesus appears. Listen, it is only after hearing that the man who had been healed had again been driven out, it is then that Jesus re-enters the scene. And why? The gospel tells us to search this man out, to find him and bring him again to the fold. You see, before we hear in chapter 10 about who the good shepherd is, in chapter 9 we see what the good shepherd does. Now, many images may come to mind with the words, "I am the good shepherd." Between our passages this morning from John's Gospel and from that touchstone of Psalm 23, we might imagine a shepherd leading the flock to the still waters or to the deep green pastures. But today I would like for us to center ourselves on one of the most iconic of images of the Good Shepherd, the one where he drapes a sheep across his shoulders in tender embrace. Beginning as early as the 3rd century in the catacombs of Rome, Jesus is often depicted as a shepherd carrying a sheep or a lamb, returning the lost back into the fold. But perhaps the most startling and powerful depiction that I have seen of this icon is one where Christ is not bearing a sheep or a lamb. I mean, it's pretty easy to imagine. but on his shoulders he is instead bearing a broken and battered human being. The icon serves for me as a visceral reminder that Christ's embrace enfolds us no matter our strength, no matter our age, no matter our power. In fact, some of my most privileged moments as a priest of this parish are spent in conversation with those who have just found the deep green grass of the Good Shepherd here at All Souls. They all come with stories of heartache, of loneliness, on a search for meaning, hoping for connection, sometimes simply hoping to sing. But what I find to be universal in their stories is a common desire for embrace. For embrace means acceptance. Embrace means being listened to. Embrace means being known. I was talking to someone recently whose small country congregational church is contemplating adding the piece as part of their regular Sunday worship. Now, some in the congregation are quite skeptical of this. Doesn't it sound a little bit Catholic, they ask? Well, a pastor then offered this. There are many in our community, she said, who live alone. Some have been cast out. Some have been left out. Some have chosen to wander further away. But when they come to church on Sunday morning, for many it is one of the few times that week, maybe the only time, when they will be in community, physically close to other people. And touch, whether it is a handshake or a hug, this greeting of touch and of peace may be the only opportunity that they have that week to be embraced. For others, the embrace will come in being known by name, known for who they are. And especially for those of us who have been members of this body for several years, it is easy to forget what it is like when you have been on the outside during the peace, after the service, in the parish hall during coffee hour. It can be so easy to talk with or to reconnect with someone whom we already know. And yet, as a community that tries to be so intentional about the welcome which we offer guests, we cannot forget to seek out the new among us, those who might look a little more lost than the rest. It can be as simple as a smile, a handshake, and a wondering of what their story might be. And this embrace does not stop with these copper doors. This embrace of the Good Shepherd extends, encounters, and circles all who have been driven out, all who have been declared to be unnecessary, unworthy, or misfit. Friends, we have been found to find. We have been known to know. We have been embraced to embrace. Where are there people in your lives that are just outside of your embrace? Who are they? Friends, when we call a long-lost loved one to offer our presence, this embrace is found. When we leave space for someone who cannot make their own, at work, at home, at school, this embrace is found. When we forgive a hurt, releasing another from their own suffering or guilt, this embrace is found. When we hold on to another in assurance that no matter what lies ahead, we will not let go, this embrace is found. Those 10 seconds for Morgan Fox felt like an eternity. And for some reason, a reason that I don't think he himself knows, rather than go toe to toe with bullet point to bullet point, he chose the story of how he came to feel embraced. Fox says, in his words, that soon I started telling him about my childhood, when I came out, all the things that I faced, the pain that I felt of not feeling necessarily accepted by my peers or family. And about that process of going through all that, but then being in a relationship and being out and feeling loved and feeling a part of a community in Memphis and how much healthier I felt. Friends, it takes more than one conversation. In fact, in this case, it took dozens. But after a few years, John Smid resigned as the director of Love in Action. And he himself began to wonder if this embrace of the Good Shepherd really extended to him just as he was. And over time, he has found that it does. Or rather, he has been found, and it does.